Our text for this evening will be Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16, which you can find on the back of your order of service or in your copy of the scriptures. If you have a Bible, I would encourage you to go ahead and turn to Ephesians 4 rather than relying on the back of the order of service, because later on we will briefly look at a couple of passages or a couple of verses also in Ephesians outside of verses 11 through 16. So it may be helpful for you to have your Bible open so that you can turn along with the rest of us. You notice there in the order of service that I've titled the devotional challenge, Nutritional Christian Ministry. What does that mean? Hopefully we'll figure out what that means as we go along, but it's a little bit of a play on the holiday that we just celebrated. For most of us, nutrition was probably not at the forefront of our thinking about Thanksgiving. Now, I'm probably the only one in that category. I'm sure the rest of you all ate just as much as you should, no more, no less. Didn't have too much sugar. You kept your nutrition in check. I see some heads shaking no, so I'm comforted to know that there are others with me. I'm not saying that that's a good thing, but the reality is that most, if not all of us, ate too much this past weekend. But this passage has something to say about Christian ministry and in something of nutritional terms, right? We're to eat vitamins and minerals, nutrients, so that our bodies build up, so that our bodies are strong and healthy. And that is the picture that Paul gives of the role of Christian ministry within the life of the body of Christ. It is designed, it is intended to build up, to strengthen, to nourish the body. So with that view in mind, we want to look at what Paul has to say here about nutritional Christian ministry. Obviously, if you were here this morning, we're keeping along the same track that Pastor Steve started for us this morning. The goal of this devotional challenge is, by and large, simply to reinforce what Pastor Steve said this morning about the priority of Christian ministry and the necessity of all of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to be involved in some type of Christian ministry, whether that is formal or informal, whether it is something that you are elected to or something that no one else knows that you do except those who are blessed by how you minister. All of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are called, according to this passage, to be engaged in some type of ministry as a part of the body of Christ. Let's read Ephesians 4 verses 11 through 16. And he, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you again this evening, Father, we pray that you would be pleased to take these words and use them for our benefit and for your glory. Father, use them to strengthen the corporate ministry of Reynoldsburg Baptist Church. Use them to strengthen our individual ministries as we serve one another and as we seek to serve the world around us. Father, we pray that you would be pleased to use this time to build us up in the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. For this devotional challenge, I have 4 points. If you're taking notes, the 4 points are these. We're going to look at the people that Paul has in view when he speaks of Christian ministry. We're going to look at the goal of Christian ministry, the result of Christian ministry, and finally, the context of Christian ministry. So the people, the goal, the result, and the context. Yes, that's not a misprint. We are saving the context until the end. Typically, we talk about context at the beginning, but we're going to talk about that at the end of the devotional. Well, who are the people that Paul has in mind when he writes about the ministry of believers? Well, he begins by speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the source, there in verse 11. And he, that is, again, the Lord Jesus, gave these individuals. He gave these apostles. He gave these prophets. He is the one who has established them. Back up in verse 7. But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. The picture being Christ as one who gives. And then Paul goes on in verses 8 through 10 to talk about what Christ has done in accomplishing redemption and ascending to the Father. And then down in verse 16 of our passage, from whom the whole, back up to verse 15, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together, so on and so forth. And here, he speaks of Christ as the head. Later in Ephesians, Paul will use this language of headship of Christ to speak of Christ as the authority, as the master over the church. Here, he uses the language of headship to speak of Christ as the source, as the one who supplies what the church needs. Grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom, from Christ, the whole body grows. Christ is the ultimate source of this Christian ministry that we are to be engaged in. But who is it that Christ has given? Who is it that our source has supplied? Paul says in verse 11 that he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. These are, in the language of verse 12, the equippers. Who are the apostles and prophets? The apostles and prophets are who many, if not all of you, think of when you read apostles and prophets. What Paul has in mind here are the New Testament apostles, those called by God and sent out as His chosen ones, as His specific chosen ones to proclaim the gospel, His immediate inner core group of disciples along with the apostle Paul, those set apart for a specific ministry. The prophets are the Old Testament prophets who have given us their words as they wrote them down and as God has preserved them. Paul says back in Ephesians 2 that it is upon these two classes of people, upon the apostles and the prophets, that God builds the church. Christ is the chief cornerstone, but the apostles and the prophets are the foundation upon which the church is built. How is the church built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets? Through the continued teaching, the repetition of, the application of their teaching that we have recorded for us in the Holy Scriptures. The apostles and the prophets have been given to the church for our equipping in this age. And he goes on to speak about these equippers as evangelists. Who are these evangelists? We probably shouldn't think about these evangelists in terms of the modern usage of the term, the Billy Grahams and other professional or career evangelists whose practice is to be an itinerant preacher at revivals and so forth. Maybe a helpful way to view this, not exactly one-to-one, but one helpful way to view this isn't using our modern term of missionary. Those who have the responsibility to continue the work of the apostles, to extend the message of the gospel into places where it has not yet gone. This is one way that the Lord seeks to equip His church, the teaching of these missionary types, these evangelists, to extend the work of the gospel. But then He also speaks of pastors and teachers. What does He mean by pastors and teachers? Well, He means what most of you think that He means. Pastors are the leaders, the shepherds of the church, who have the responsibility to watch over as under shepherds, under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ, to shepherd, to watch over the flock of Christ. They have the responsibility to do this both by praying for the people as well as by teaching. And then there are others who have been equipped to teach the word who are not pastors, who teach in other ways, not just in things like Sunday school classes and other formal ministries, but those who have been given the charge by the way that God has equipped them, both in their giftings and in their passions, to speak the word of God to other people, either in a large setting like this, or one-on-one, or in a small group setting. Teachers of the word. These are equippers. Those whom God, or those whom Christ has given to the church for the purpose of equipping, of preparing, of building up. Well, who are the ones then who are equipped? Who are the people who are equipped? Notice what He says in verse 12. Christ has given these individuals we just looked at to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Who are the saints? Are these those who have been canonized by the Roman Catholic Church into sainthood? Well, not according to the Apostle Paul. Go back to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says that he is writing to the saints in Ephesus. Not a special group of believers, but all of those who are believers in Ephesus who have gathered together as this local church body. These are the saints. These are the saints referred to in Ephesians 4. Who is it that God intends to equip for works of ministry by the ministry of the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers? It is all of us who claim the name of Christ. We are all called, we are all set apart to be ministers under the lordship of Jesus Christ. We are to be equipped for the work of ministry. Notice back up in verse 7 of chapter 4, which I read before. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. The picture here points back to what we read in 1 Corinthians 12 and what Pastor Steve touched on or pointed to this morning with regards to spiritual gifts. Each one of us has been given a gift or multiple gifts to be used in ministry as a part of the body of Christ. So here are the people that Paul has in view. Christ is the source of all of this ministry activity. And Christ has given to the church leaders, leaders past and leaders present, for the purpose of not doing ministry alone, but for the purpose of equipping the body so that the body might be prepared to engage in works of ministry, informal and formal ministry. The things that Pastor Steve referenced this morning, anything that manifests the Spirit of Christ and the grace of Christ. This is the ministry that all of us are to be engaged in. And a part of the work of preaching the word, a part of the work of teaching a Bible study or a small group or meeting one-on-one with another believer, part of that work is to equip that other person so that they might be prepared to do the good works that God has prepared in advance for them to do, as Paul writes in Ephesians 2:10. These are the people in view in this task of Christian ministry. What is the goal of Christian ministry? What is the goal? The believers are to be equipped for the work of ministry for the building up of the body of Christ. When I speak of Christian ministry, when I speak of you personally being engaged, either formally or informally, in some act of serving the body of Christ, manifesting the Spirit of Christ, manifesting the grace of Christ to another brother or sister, what do you think of? What is that personal ministry for you? What are those personal ministries? If it is a personal ministry that Christ intends for you to pursue, for His church to pursue, then the ultimate goal of that ministry is not to serve yourself, not to make yourself feel good, not to put yourself on display, but to build up the body of Christ, to build up your brothers and sisters in the faith. One commentator puts it this way: what has been done for the saints by the apostles, prophets, and others preparing them, and what has been done by the saints through the exercise of their gifts in Christian service, is for the building, the strengthening of the body of Christ, so that the ministry that each one of us ought to be engaged in is Christ's means for nourishing and strengthening His body. Not the exclusive means. Christ uses His word. The Spirit works to strengthen the body. But one of the means that Christ uses to build up His body, His bride, is your personal ministry. Think about that. The sovereign King of all creation, the Son of God, who gave Himself to pay for your sin debt, the Son of God who was raised from the dead, intends by His Spirit to use you in some form of Christian ministry to nourish His body. What an awesome privilege we have. Again, this is not about feeding our own ego. This is about serving one another so that Christ's body may be built up, may be brought to maturity. What does this built up body look like? Paul goes on in verse 13 to describe what this built up body looks like. The work of our ministry to one another is to continue on until we attain to the unity of the faith. What Paul has in view here when he speaks of the faith is not the act of believing, but rather the content that we believe when we profess faith in Christ. And as we grow in our knowledge of all that God has done, the faith once for all delivered to the saints, as Jude writes in his letter, the content of what we believe. And parallel with this is our growth in the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God. That is, our ministries are to help one another grow in our knowledge of the Son of God so that we grow into an agreement of who Christ is and all that He has done and all that can be known of Him and about Him from His Scriptures. We are to work together so that we all might grow up in our beliefs, in our confessions, in our convictions concerning who God is and who His Son is and what they are doing in this world. Paul goes on to describe this building up of the body of Christ into mature manhood, or to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is an interesting description that Paul gives, because oftentimes when we think of growing up into Christ's likeness or being conformed to the image of Christ, we think about that individually. Each one of us as individual believers are being conformed into the image of the Son of God. We see that elsewhere in Scripture. But what Paul has in view here is not primarily our individual growing up into Christ, but our collective as the body of Christ growing together into maturity so that together we look like Christ, so that together we reflect Christ who is our head. This is what our ministry is working towards. The building up of the body to the fullness of Christ. And here we have an interesting, if you will, criteria to evaluate our own personal Christian ministry. Here's what I mean. I asked you earlier to think about, what do you think of when I speak of your own personal ministry? When you think of your own personal ministry, do you think of something whose end is oriented in this direction, in building up the body of Christ into Christ's likeness? We will do this in different ways because, again, we have different giftings and different passions. Some people are involved in this more directly than others. Pastor Steve mentioned this morning what we have put in those inserts periodically, talking about vine ministry and trellis ministry. Vine ministry being primarily focused on growing individuals in the gospel, ministering the gospel of Christ to both believers and non-believers. Trellis activities being supporting roles that support that vine ministry. Even those trellis or supporting activities need to be understood as having a priority of making sure that we are building one another up into Christ's likeness. And if there are structures, if there are things that we are doing that are preventing us from building one another up into Christ's likeness, are holding us back from pursuing Christ's likeness together, then we need to ask the question, is this really where we need to spend our time? There are other things that we do that don't directly show a connection to building up towards Christ's likeness. Unseen ministries, you know, you can think of things like what the trustees do and the God Squad in terms of taking care of our facilities. We might look at those and say, well, directly those don't work towards growing us up in Christ's likeness, but they allow us the opportunity to meet in an undistracted way, like this morning and like this evening, so that we may be built up towards growth in Christ. So some ministries directly affect this growth in Christ's likeness. Other ministries allow growth in Christ's likeness, and those are necessary as well. But are there things that we, whether it be Reynoldsburg Baptist Church or other churches, who simply are doing things because we've done them before and we're comfortable doing them and we enjoy doing them, but in the end, are they working towards this goal of Christ's likeness? And if they're not, we need to ask ourselves, is this where we need to be spending our time, our financial resources, or is there a better way to appropriate these things? What is the result of Christian ministry? The result of Christian ministry in verse 14 is so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Paul makes a connection here, or rather a contrast in verses 13 and 14 to point to the maturity that is intended and the result of that maturity. I mentioned earlier that the maturity is primarily, for Paul, a corporate, a congregational maturity, not an individual maturity. And he helps us see that by contrasting the mature man, the singular man, with these children, what we are before our growth in Christ, so that we may no longer be children, individuals, plural, not unified as one man. But then also in contrast, a mature man versus the young child who is not mature, the young child who is easily deceived, who is easily confused, who is easily tossed about by anything that the world throws its way. The result of Christian ministry is so that we may not be those kind of spiritual children, but so that together we may be a mature man in Christ, able to stand against false teaching, able to detect when there is teaching in our midst that is not helpful, that is contrary to the Word of God, but also standing, in addition to standing firm in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, speaking the truth in love, speaking the Word of God in a spirit of love, motivated by concern for one another, motivated for the good of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And as we speak the truth in love, notice what Paul says in verses 15 and 16. We are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Verse 16 is an odd sentence to get your head around, but notice just the main ideas from that verse. At the beginning, from whom the whole body is the subject or the main noun in verse 16. And the verb, the action of that body, is towards the end of the sentence. That body makes the body grow. The body is at work so that the body grows. The body works making the body grow. This is to be the result of our Christian ministry. More ministry so that we continue to grow up in Christ, building ourselves up in love. And notice who it is that is to be working. The whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly. This result of Christ's likeness, of speaking the truth in love, only has its fullest effect when each one of us is doing our God-called part in Christian ministry. When you are doing what God has equipped you to do, when I am doing what God has equipped me to do, when Pastor Steve is doing what God has equipped him to do, when all of us are doing what we are equipped to do, it won't all look the same because of different giftings, different passions, different stations in life. But whatever it is that Christ has equipped you to do, He intends for you to do it to build up the rest of us so that together we might stand against the shifting sands of culture, so that we might stand against false doctrine, so that we might love one another more effectively, so that we might minister the gospel of Christ more powerfully. This will only happen as each of us are engaged, as we have been equipped in some form of Christian ministry. So the question that comes to us again from this morning is, what is that for you? Pastor Steve gave us a good rubric, if you will, or some helpful ideas to think through in engaging in this sort of ministry. If you look at your life and you don't see a spot where you are engaged in ministry, go back to that sermon this morning and listen to that last point and put that application into practice, to think through and to pray through and to begin serving. But if you are serving, in an area or in multiple areas, you too should pray through and think through and examine closely, is the ministry or the ministries that I'm engaged in, are they promoting a growth in Christ-likeness? Or are they just things that I like to do that really don't benefit the body of Christ? This passage challenges us to evaluate what we're doing and what we're claiming to be ministry. Finally, the context of our Christian ministry. From beginning to end in this passage, Paul sets our attention not primarily on what we do as the body of Christ, but Christ's intention for His body. Because He is the one who has given the apostles and prophets. He is the one who has given pastors and teachers. He has the one who has given these individuals for the purpose of equipping all of us so that we might be built up. Christ's design is to build up His body by the means of those who preach and teach, by the means of those who serve one another. Christ is exercising His headship, or Christ intends to exercise His headship over the church through your ministry. Have you thought about Christ's headship in that way? Most of the time when we think about Christ's headship over the church, we think of it being exercised in submission to the faithful reading and application of God's Word. And that is the primary way that Christ exercises His headship. But in this passage, we see that Christ is also at work building His body up when each one plays its part. So that if you are not playing your part, you are not submitting to the headship of Christ. Because His intention is for you, as He has equipped you by His Spirit, to be ministering to one another and ministering to the world so that we all might grow up in the faith. Christ exercises His headship through His intentional design of Christian ministry. Are you submitting to the headship of Christ? Christ's gift to you, to all of us, is our church family, because He intends to use each of us in one another's lives for our good and ultimately for His glory, because He is the one who is glorified as we minister to one another, and as we are built up, He is glorified because He is the one who designed this. He is the one who is accomplishing this work. See this picture of Christ's intention for you to serve as a portrayal of His glory. Where are you engaged in nutritional Christian ministry for the building up of the body of Christ so that Christ might be glorified? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before You again this evening, Father, we thank You for Your word. Father, we thank You for the design of the Lord Jesus Christ to build up His body through our personal ministry. I pray, Father, that each one of us would evaluate how and where we are engaged in ministry and how those ministries are serving the body to grow the body. I pray, Father, that we will be affirmed in those areas where real growth and real nourishment to the body is happening. I pray, Father, that we would be convicted where we need to be redirected in engaging in ministry. Father, I pray that You would be at work in showing each of us here at Reynoldsburg Baptist Church how it is that You intend for us to serve as a part of the body of Christ, so that we might be built up and so that Christ might be glorified. In His name we pray. Amen.